March 31st of 2022, I was killed. They called my mom at 1:30 in the morning. I got hit in the back, 120 feet in the air, landing on my head. Spent 6 months in the hospital.
Welcome to TBI, Talking Brain Injury from Brain Injury Alliance, Colorado. I'm your host, Phil, a four-time recipient of brain injuries I don't even remember, plus a whole bunch I maybe kind of do remember. In this episode, I meet with Darius Woods. He's yet another victim of yet another car accident. They're way too common in the TBI community.
It was by a drunk driver and a person that was inebriated.
Darius then spent time in two medically induced comas. He remembered his mom's voice, but he forgot that she was there with him. He forgot how to walk and how to read.
One thing I realized in this process, never listen to other people's opinions on how you're supposed to live your life. That's one thing. Once you know yourself, then you can accomplish anything.
Over time, he found his superpower. And today, he's written a book. He's even navigated one of the most difficult conversations ever with his children.
How do I explain to a 10-year-old why daddy doesn't remember her birthday? Doesn't mean I don't remember her. I don't remember the day she was born.
I learn more from Darius about his recovery, his resilience, and what it means to be a dad. Right around the corner, it's the 39th annual Pikes Peak Challenge. That's the biggest fundraiser of the year for BIAC. Hiking to the top of Pikes Peak, or just cruising through Manitou Springs with your family. It's going down September 7th. For the first time ever, I will be there, and I'm raising money for BIAC. You can support my team, Team TBI Podcast, with a donation online, pikespeakchallenge.com. If you donate, you'll get a shout out right here on an upcoming podcast. I'll see you up there at 14,000 feet. It's Phil Lindemann with the BIAC podcast, TBI Talking Brain Injury. And today I'm joined on Zoom by Darius Woods. Great to meet you, Darius.
Pleasure to meet you, Phil. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Now you got to remind me, where are you living at?
Denver, Colorado.
Denver. Great. You from Denver originally?
Yes, sir.
You reached out to me a while back about being on the podcast, and we finally got the chance to connect. What you been up to, since the first time that you heard about the podcast, or how'd you hear about it in the first place?
So my counselor, Lucia Valdez, she told me about this podcast, and she said I would be great on the podcast to share my story with the world. So that's what I plan to do. And outside of that, honestly, this has been recovering and surviving every day.
All right, let's talk about it. Your story, where does it all begin?
Here in Denver, Colorado. So March 31st of 2022, I was killed. They called my mom at 1:30 in the morning. I got hit in the back, 120 feet in the air, landing on my head. Spent 6 months in the hospital. Had to learn how to walk, talk, even do this. So now I'm here.
So what happened?
To my understanding, I don't remember the day at all. I don't remember prior to that year. To be honest with you, I remember no months prior to that year. I don't remember the day it happened. But from what I was told, that I was helping my friend get in the car, got hit in the back, and the person said they hit a door. It was by a drunk driver and a person that was inebriated.
Man, I'm so sorry to hear about that. And was this happening, like what time of day? Where were you at? Were you by your house or were you just like, out around town?
So we were on 17th in Ogden. My friend flew in from Florida and she asked me to go to her third concert. And to this day, I don't remember the concert, who we went to see in the concert. I don't remember the concert at all. And I was helping her get in the car and got hit in the back. And that's what all of it happened.
Did your friend get hurt too?
Yes, she did.
Oh, what happened with her?
To my understanding, she got hit in the leg. But to me, I was the only person that died that day.
Yeah, that is just, it's crazy how your life can change in a flash, right? In a moment that you don't even remember.
Yes, sir.
So talk about let's talk about recovery. What's the first thing that you do remember?
Oh my goodness. The first thing I do remember is when I woke up. So when I woke up, the first thing I asked my mom, what is that? She said, Darius, that's the sun. And I put my hand on my chest, said, Mom, what am I doing? She said, Darius, you're breathing. I didn't know I was a dad. But I asked for every single person that was dead. Every single person. Because I didn't know. And I thought I was running from somebody. My mom said, no, Darius, you were in an accident. So that's from the first day I woke up.
It's kind of scary to lose entire days, months of your life, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I agree. I had a similar experience where, I had an accident up in the mountains. I was snowboarding, hit a tree, And I don't remember much of anything for, you know, maybe 2-3 days after that. And then, you know, months after that's pretty fuzzy. You know, friends will tell me what happened. And they were like, you know, man, you were awake. You were trying to walk around. You were trying to, like, you know, get back on your snowboard and move. And they were like, no, stop. You need to stop. I don't remember any of this. You know, I don't remember what I said to them. I don't remember what they said to me. None of this stuff, you know, it's all to this day, no matter how hard I try to remember it, I got nothing. I don't even really remember, like you, what I was doing in the hours leading up to it.
There you go. My mom told me I came to see her, but I don't remember that at all. Be honest with you, my mom said, Jerris, you remember me? I said, Mom, the thing that when I was in my concussion, two medically induced comas, when people talk to me, that's why I remember their voices. So, see, to Darius's mom, I remember that because that's what I heard. Darius's mom, I love you dearly. She said that to me every day she came in. I remember that. But other than that, I don't remember seeing my mom that day. And they made me almost brought tears to my eyes that since I came to see her that day, I got in an accident. I didn't know.
But it is kind of funny the things we do remember, right? Like you said, you remember mom's voice. You don't remember maybe what she said, but you remember mom's voice being there.
Yeah. I just remember every day she said, this is mom. Yeah. For the longest time when I woke up, the way that my memory used to work, because I don't believe your memory is in your head. I believe it's on your soul. And when I woke up, the way I was able to remember people or remember things is when people said it to me. So I didn't hear the people that died voices, of course. So I didn't remember them at all. Couldn't. But my family would tell me stories about these people. And I'm like, okay. But that will help me bring up that memory of when I was there, per se. But not with them.
Yeah, talk about that. You know, the memory's not in your head. It's in your soul.
So when I say that, because of the fact of the reason I say your memories are not in your head, it's on your soul, is because of the fact of since you were a kid, the things that you learned as a kid that made you keep it all the way through your adult life. And the reason I say that, because those things are ingrained into you, not into your brain. Your brain, and to be honest with you, my brain was wiped clean. So for me to remember people, names, and all of that, That was all gone. It's fickle, per se. But remembering the fact of the moments, that's why I say moments are tests to your soul. Because moments are not what you can get back. Memories are not what you can get back. That's why I say it's on your soul.
Yeah, I really like thinking of it that way. Because, you know, when I've tried to explain brain injury to people, you know, because, you know, the troubles that I have is, you know, remembering names, places, proper nouns, you know, stuff like that. That is my nemesis. I just cannot remember that stuff. I might meet you 5 times, but I have a hard time remembering your name. But I'll remember, you know, maybe your handshake or a story you told me or something like that. You know, I still remember bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And I always tell people it's like, you know, my brain's like a filing cabinet that was alphabetized by somebody who didn't know the alphabet. All the information's there, right? Yeah. But it's not, A's not where A should be. B's not where B should be. It's just, it's all jumbled up.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so I always say that what brain injury, we have a superpower. I always say that because to this day, a dog hears -4 decibels, I can hear -2 decibels. And with that being said, like when you tell me, with you telling me your story, I'm able to visualize in my head and tell you word for word what you said. So that's why I feel like it became more of a superpower to me than anything else. And I try to encourage people that it's more of a superpower because things that other people overlook, we don't overlook with a brain injury. We analyze stuff. We pay attention to stuff. Like, I remember the first year I woke up and I saw a bug. I said, what is that? And mom and parents were like, I don't know. I said, and I looked at it. I was like, that's a bug on a ceiling. And like, I literally can almost hear a pin needle drop on the carpet. That's how close I can hear. And ever since then, like when people tell me a story, literally I pictured in my head, I could tell you word for word what you said.
That's pretty incredible. And the sort of thing that you didn't really do before the accident?
No, not at all.
Do you think it's because your brain's having to work a little harder? You're just having to pay more attention to things? Do you know where it comes from?
I think it's both, because I believe my recovery process is for me to pay attention, because I don't think I was always paying attention beforehand. I just don't think so. Actually, I know so at this point. I didn't pay attention to stuff. Now I pay attention to everything and everyone and what they say. Exactly. I look at, and I used to tell my family, was I weird for looking at people's mouths when they talk, because of the fact that if captions were in real life, I would need captions for everything, because my processing speed of everything is a lot slower to everything.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I've had to work harder to pay attention to things, but it's not like a bad thing. Sometimes it can get a little tiring, you know, like, you know, I find myself at the end of the day feeling a little exhausted, but it's not a bad exhaustion, you know?
No.
Well, it's just kind of the way that you got to move through life.
And I think that's why I think it's cool, because I know people think that brain injury is the worst thing ever. I think it's kind of cool, because at the end of the day, there's not people that are going to understand you unless they have a brain injury. That's cool. And at the end of the day, one thing I realized from this world, well, I felt displaced for a long time. And the reason why I felt displaced is because everybody wants you to adapt to them, but nobody adapts to you. And I never understood that. To this day, I don't understand that. How do people make you adapt to them, but they don't adapt to you? That's the weirdest thing. But other than that, that's why I say I was displaced, because of the fact of coming back into a world, I didn't know what the sun was, didn't know, like, time is the weirdest concept to me, ever. I don't say BYE either. I say, I see you soon. I don't say good morning. I say, I'm glad you have the breath of life. Like, these things, I don't understand why people do stuff, and they don't have a reason why they do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Well,
so weird.
Well, and tell me how you got to some of this. So, like, you know, your recovery process. So, your injury happened, what, 2022?
Yes.
You know, talk about working through recovery and, you know, kind of getting back to, well, being who you are now.
Okay. So, literally, I had to learn how to do this. And literally, I had to learn how to have a conversation with you. To this day, I still don't like feelings. The reason why I don't like feelings is because feelings are always the person, not everybody else feels them. So it's hard to understand feelings for me. And I'll just be honest with you, like, it's the weirdest thing ever. And outside of that, so when I carry something up the stairs, I have to lean against the wall. Or, like, Tuesday, you said Darius run. Darius is not running. As bad as I want to. I have dreams about me running, but like me physically running is a no. And so if you ask me to do pull-ups, no, it won't happen. It's like, you're a physically healthy man. I understand that. But there's things that, because my injury was on my right side, which affected my whole left side, my body. So, and that's another thing, Phil, that from my injury, there's a lot of things that didn't make sense scientifically that happened to me. So I went from 6'2 to 6'4. I went from a size 10.5 shoe to a size 12 shoe. Yeah.
Everything
changed. Huh?
Wild.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's to, like, when I go talk to the doctors, it's still, I can see it in their face how astounding it is that things change so drastically for me. I'm still standing here.
You know, no wonder you feel it's like a superpower, because you've lost some things, but you've also gained some things that nobody could have ever predicted.
Yes, sir.
Now talk about you know, overcoming, you know, like you said, some of those things that like, you know, like just moving around the house, walking up the stairs, that sort of stuff. Give some advice to people who are also struggling with that too. How did you find a way to, you know, turn that from, you know, a weakness to a superpower?
So the thing about this, one thing I realized in this process, never listen to other people's opinions on how you're supposed to live your life. That's one thing. Once you know yourself, then you can accomplish anything. And that's one thing I had to hone in on myself, was even though that was not told to me, but I had to, like, it literally switched in my head one day, like, stop listening to other people without a brain injury. How are people without a brain injury going to tell you how to live your life? Doesn't make sense. Because when I did that, I adapted by learning over time. Because one thing about this, when you do something one time, I only have to do something one time to not to do it again. So when I carried something up the stairs and I was off balance, that was the weirdest feeling ever. I mean, it literally felt like I was going to fall over the banister. I said, okay, nope, not doing this again. So I leaned against, like, so if I'm carrying it in my right hand, my left side of my body is leaning against the rail to go up the stairs. If I'm carrying it in my right hand, well, carrying it in my left hand, my right side is leaning against the wall to carry it up the stairs. And I'm going, like, no, if you're following behind me on the stairs, no, I wouldn't suggest it. I would tell you go around ahead of me, because of the fact that I'm going to go slower. I'm paying attention to every single step that I make to ensure that I don't fall and this doesn't end up in a bad position.
And you got to make sure that you're doing that for you. Like you said, you don't pay attention to anybody else. Hey, if you're walking slower, who cares? Just go around me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, and that's one thing, talking to a lot of folks, especially here on the podcast, people that feel frustrated, you know, with, like, you know, not improving fast enough, or they talk to, you know, specifically like a doctor. A doctor's like, you know, well, I think this is where you should be, but this is where you are. And, you know, sometimes that gets people down, you know, that it's just, well, I'm not improving as fast as this person. Or, you know, this person over here had a worse accident than me, but they're doing better than me. What's happening? But like you're saying, you got to go at your own pace. You got to take it as your own life, because it's your life, right? It's nobody else's injury to deal with. It's you, and you got to. Well, you're the one who's got to make it your new superpower.
That's the point, Phil. You said it identically what I would say it as, because of the fact of one thing. I studied brain injuries when I first got out of the accident, so reading became my new favorite pastime. So if being honest with any viewer or listener, they will not hear a TV on when I'm talking to you, because of the fact of I'm only able to focus on one thing at a time, and I'm glad about that. And when I read about it, everybody's brain injury is different and everybody's recovery process is different, so you cannot hold yourself accountable for where you feel like you should be at your recovery process because you're looking at somebody else's. Now, that does not take away that I felt I've reached a plateau many times in this process. I felt like I reached a plateau even currently right now, because at the end of the day, the things that you see when you're first going through your injury is a lot faster than what you see when you're further out from your injury date.
Yeah, and it's just a matter, I think, of making sure that you're not getting disappointed by, you know, those plateaus or feeling like you're not going anywhere. You know, it's in those moments I like to look back on where I was, you know, and where I am today. And I'm like, man, you know, 6 months ago, I definitely wasn't doing this. Or, you know, my accident, it was a long time ago. It was 10 years ago at this point. But I look back and I'm like, wow, 10 years ago? You know, I still had a broken leg, a broken arm, couldn't remember anything, you know, was just like, it felt like a shell of myself. Today, you know, I feel like I'm back to, well, not where I was before, but back to maybe even better than before.
There you go. I think that's the biggest part about what a brain injury, it's not to put us back. I used to hate when people want to go back to where they were at before. I'm gonna be honest with you. There's two things I hate, and I don't like to say the word hate, but two things I hate is when people try to go back to where they were at before their brain injury. How do you expect to be at that tip-top shape at before your injury and after injury? You can't do it. And then outside of that, I used to hate when people say, "Do you remember?" I still hate that to this day. Like, why would you ask me, "Do I remember?" I don't remember. But when you said that injury, wow, 10 years ago, man, wow. You made some strides, man. I have to tell you that.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, well, and I'm right there with you. I believe that living in the past is nowhere to live. I mean, because if you're living in the past, what are you doing? You're just holding on to, I don't know, I think like a ghost of yourself, you know, some memory of yourself that's probably not true to who you should be. And I also find a lot of people who, you know, living in the past, it's a lot more comfortable, right? It's a lot easier. It's a lot, it's not nearly as scary as, well, trying to improve and embrace what you don't know.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
When you said that, that statement alone would have been the biggest thing to me. When you're trying to, go back to what you used to do, but the new you is so much better. Because this didn't happen for no reason. This happened for a reason, for you to be better and to able to realize what you were missing before. That's why I think a lot of us have brain injuries so we can analyze what we missed before.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Darius, you know, if I didn't have a brain injury, I don't think I'd be on this podcast with folks like you. You know, I wouldn't have met people like you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I met you, Phil. You gotta understand. This process, you don't understand. I ask every single day. I said, is there somebody like me? Is there people like me? And, of course, the doctor said, Well, there's, like, it was always the excuses, and I didn't like excuses. I still don't like excuses. Like, because of then they, for me to meet people like me, that's a whole different thing. You can't tell me I'm the only person out here with a brain injury. You can't tell me that. And for me to believe that, what? No.
Exactly. You know, they say every brain injury is different. Well, yeah, of course, every brain injury is different. But, you know, it doesn't mean that our experience of recovery can't be shared or that we can't find strength with, you know, other people going through similar stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, it's like, so one of my first mentees that I had with BIAC, similar to you, it was a car accident. Car accidents, man, they're so brutal. They can upend people's lives in so many different ways. And, you know, he's still recovering from that accident. His accident happened even before mine. And, you know, he's still struggling every day. But he's made some strides. You know, he's found what he's gotten better at. Yeah. He's made some peace with the stuff that he lost. And he's also, you know, had chance to really reflect on, you know, himself, his family, his, you know, those people that are important in his life. And then, like, most impressive to me, he did something he'd never done in his entire life. He sat down and he wrote a book. He wrote, like, a 300-page book all about his experience as, you know, from where he was a kid to where he was now. And he was like, you know, when I was in school, you couldn't even get me to write 2 pages. And I wrote a book. It's wild.
I think that's kind of cool because I wrote a book too.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
What'd you write?
Living with the TBI. I wrote this book the first year I got out the hospital. And I really wrote it. Like, I was typing it a lot. So it got approved for publication last year. So I'm going through the first year of publication now. So the book is just explained experience about what I remember from the 2 medically induced comas and sitting here talking to you.
All right.
I just wanted to give people a insight on how to be better and strive to be better because nobody else is writing your story but yourself. So for you to write your story, that it could be somebody else's survival story or survival guide.
And, you know, one thing that I like about the podcast,
yeah,
I found it's a fun way. It's almost like reading the back of the book, right? We get a small introduction to people like you, Darius, or anybody else that's been on the podcast. And I hope this leads people to want to learn more, either about you or about themselves or anything. You know, it's just kind of like the teaser, the trailer, the thing that gets you interested in wanting to do more, learn more.
Yes, sir.
Now, obviously, the other big important part, we talked about your mom earlier. Some of those people that helped you through recovery, you know, talk about those people that were so important to you as you were recovering, as you were, you know, coming back from your injury.
My parents, for sure. I'll have to say they were the most pinnacle piece because of the fact of I didn't have to force to be understood by them. Of course, you're not always understood by everybody. Of course, as much as people love you, they want to understand you, but that doesn't mean that everybody can. They took the time to learn and to go through the process with me because my counselor said, this is not only my responsibility, it's everybody's responsibility to learn. So, because it didn't only change my life, it changed everybody's life. So, I think that's the major thing. And then, the older my kids get, I share stories to them, and I see them, they have more patience, per se, even though they're young, but they have more patience with me now because of the fact of they understood daddy was in a bad accident. So it's not like I want to not remember. It's the fact that daddy can't remember. So I remember when my oldest would ask me, "Daddy, do you remember the day I was born?" I said, "Wow." Like it brought tears to my eyes because that day I don't remember. I really don't. I don't remember none of my kids being born. I just don't. And moments, when I used to go through my, like, social medias, per se, the reason why I got back into them so I can get memories from years prior so I can remember, I think I'd get the pictures, so I hope it brings up a memory that I can try to remember. But
is it working?
Yeah, it does work. I have to be honest with you. It really depends on if it was supposed to be not remembered or it's supposed to be remembered.
Yeah, that was my next question. Does it hurt more than it's worth sometimes?
I think honestly, like, I don't know. Do you know about the neuroplasticity test, sir?
Yeah, definitely.
That's another thing I hate because that test makes me realize where I'm at. And my injury. I don't like to think about my injury. I really don't. And I want something to remind me of my injury. That's why I don't like it. But with that test alone, it identified my shortcomings with this process. But with the memory basis, when I pull up things, it allows me to be able to share with my parents. And a lot of times, I've shared a lot of things with my mom. Because, you know, I love my mom. I shared things with her that she's like, "There's, yeah, that's when you did this." So she's able to help me, like, go through the process of remembering it, per se.
Yeah.
But a lot of things, I don't tell her about it because I don't really care. Because if I don't remember it when I first see it, then that's it.
You know, Darius, I like that too. That idea of, you know, if I wasn't meant to remember it, why force myself to try and remember it? I think some people, you know, they really do want to recapture those old memories or, you know, refine those old, you know, something about it's important to them. But me personally, I've always felt like, you know, what I've lost, I'm not going to fight too hard to regain. As long as whatever it is that I've lost doesn't, you know, like cause distress to the people that I love. You know, there's like a very small group of people. I call them like my life partner types, you know, yeah. Not my mom and dad, you know, the mom and dad, they're stuck with me to the end. I'm stuck with them to the end. Right. But those people, like, you know, best friends, or, you know, like my wife, people like that.
Yes, sir.
And those sorts of people, you know, if I try too hard to dig up a memory that, you know, doesn't support them or doesn't support me, or, you know, is just going to be more, do more harm than's good. Yeah. I'm okay letting it go. And I'm okay, you know, even sometimes, you know, people that might have been important in my life at some point, you know, you got to be okay letting them go. Because that's just, you know, it's just life. Whether I had a brain injury or not, that can also just be life.
Yeah, true.
And, well, you mentioned, like your kids. I wanted to talk about that one real quick. Like you said, you know, how'd it feel when your oldest was asking, do you remember me being born?
One thing about it, that's why I said my mom, I love my parents, because she told her that your daddy from his accident doesn't remember nothing. So it's not the fact of, I love the fact of she's able to explain things I'm not able to explain per se. How long explain to a 10-year-old why daddy doesn't remember her birthday? Doesn't mean I don't remember her. I don't remember the day she was born. Now, it comes back, like, randomly, I tell you that. It comes back, like, say, months down the line, I remember where she was born at, what time she was born at, and whatnot. But it's not, at the time somebody asked me, put me on the spot, it doesn't happen like that. But when she asked me, I think she's seen in my eyes that I was like, wow. Like, she really saw in my eyes how hurt I was that I couldn't remember. And I tell you, my kids are what makes me feel like it's more of a curse than it's a blessing, per se, because my kids ask questions as a kid would, but adults don't ask you questions like kids do. They just don't. And so I thought for the longest time, I thought this was a curse rather than a blessing.
But sounds like, you know, even your kids are finding a way through it. And your mom's a big help being able to explain it. And in those real simple terms too, that yes. Dad had an accident.
Yes.
And that accident's going to be with him, but it doesn't mean daddy doesn't love you. It doesn't. Yeah.
Thank you for saying that, Bill. That's the biggest thing there. Because I think for me, I know at this point from hearing what they said, that they're trying to understand me per se, because daddy's not the same. Daddy's different. Daddy, like when kids do normal stuff and I'm like, okay, kids, stop. Like, you know how kids play and they make a lot of noise? I say, okay, kids, yeah, please stop. Because of the fact that too much for my head is, that's overwhelming to me. I'm like, okay, you gotta stop, please. So they understand, they don't push the limits like they did before, prior to my brain accident. They're more of a, okay, daddy says stop, we gotta stop now, per se.
All right. You know, it's funny how kids pick up on things too, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
They learn so much faster than we give them credit for.
Yes, they do.
Well, Darius, you know, it's wild to think that your accident was only 2 years ago, and like today, my last question for you is, when you were laid up in a hospital, when you were, you know, in those first, you know, months of recovery, did you ever see yourself being where you are today?
Absolutely not. I used to ask. I don't know if anybody believes God on here, but I used to ask God every day, is today my last day? I used to look at the ceiling and say, God, is today my last day? Because you don't know how many times I used to look out the window of the hospital room. And I said, I wish I was like them, able to walk around and enjoy the breeze of walking around. And that's why I don't think people take that. They take things for granted that can be taken away for the rest of your life.
Nothing for granted these days, though, huh?
Absolutely not.
Well, Darius, I really appreciate you sharing your story. And I mean, I can't imagine where you're going to be in another 2 years, another 5 years, another 10 years, man. It's just going to keep getting better and better.
Yes, sir.
Incredible stuff. Well, Darius, one last time, where could people find your book? Is your book available right now, or is it still kind of in the works?
Not yet. So, but it will be available at Barnes & Noble if you go to the website. So if everybody want to write this down, it's called Living with the Traumatic TBI. So by Darius Woods. And they said it's going to be available on all websites, whatnot, and Barnes & Noble. So you can find it.
But all right.
It's one of the things. I can't wait.
Can't wait to see it out there either. So yeah, Living with TBI, Darius Woods, D-A-R-I-U-S.
That's correct.
Perfect. Well, Darius, thanks for reaching out. Best of luck as you keep on recovering. And great stuff to hear, you know, especially with your family. All the best to them, because like you said, we're not in this journey alone. We got all those other people close by us. Our life partners, they're there with us too.
Yes, sir.
Great. Well, I can't wait to, let's make sure that we touch base again. You know, like I said, in 2 years, a couple years from now, and see just how much better you're doing even then.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. I would love to.
Yeah, same here, Darius. Hey, glad we finally got the chance to connect. It's TBI, Talking Brain Injury, the Brain Injury Alliance podcast.